Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values program that tries to intersect life with faith and values. Thank you for listening all these almost 25 years here doing the show. And thank you for my sponsors, Henderson Properties and Perry's Fine Jewelry, for your sponsorship of the show. Without you doing this for me, I could not do this for you. And I'm very thankful to you for your sponsorship. Well, everyone, today I wanted to say Ed Billick, my normal producer and friend, is on vacation. George Hazlett is subbing for him, and I've invited George to open up his mic and be a part of the show as he feels he would like to be. I thought we would talk today about the SCOTUS leak. I just think we have to. It is such a huge story in American life and history. I know that I remember some of the big days in my life. For example, I remember vividly in the 1960s as a school kid hearing the news that John F. Kennedy had been shot. I remember the moon landing in 1969. I'm a North Carolina former basketball player. I remember Dean Smith's first national championship in 1982. But folks, I'm really serious when I say this. I was watching a baseball game on my phone Monday night around 10 o'clock, and it came across in a brief little script that the SCOTUS leak had occurred. And honestly, I love watching baseball. It's my way to get away from it all. But I went immediately away from that game in order to get the news about this leak. It was huge Monday night around 10 o'clock. It's one of those days I think I'll never forget. George, welcome to the show. It's good to have you here. Did you have that same kind of feeling when it came across the news wire to you?
I didn't remember the exact, and thanks for letting me on your show here.
You're welcome.
I didn't remember the exact time and all that, but I do remember I was like, What?
Yeah, I know. And what I want to do today is to spend some time trying to examine why, and that'll be in the next segment, why in the world did this leak occur? I mean, it looks like this could be the left or the Democrats' January 6th. I think that what the Republicans did on January the 6th a year ago was irresponsible. I think it was a blight upon Republicanism and what it stands for. But I think this could very well be the same kind of thing because it is unprecedented. It is a shocking surprise. It's never happened beforehand. We've heard some rumors about SCOTUS decisions that have been made in the past, but we've never, ever had a leak of the whole document, the entire document being leaked. That's partly because we live in a computer age, and you can put a PDF, for example, on a computer leak, and you can send it out to everybody. But even then, we've never had this kind of thing happen before, and the computer's been around for 20 years or so.
Correct, yeah.
So we are looking now at something that has never happened before, is extraordinarily unprecedented. It's causing a huge tsunami of emotion and feeling on both sides of the aisle, and it's just going to be absolutely fascinating political and SCOTUS theater for the next couple of months. Now, this decision was supposed to come down probably sometime in June of this year. There were rumors regarding what might happen, but nobody knew for sure. There were people thinking, would there be a 5-4 decision like we have now? We're not sure about John Roberts, but we think it's probably a 5-4 with him trying to be almost Solomonic, if you will, in the middle, trying to divide the baby and trying to get rid of Roe, but maybe keep Casey, the 1992 decision, which is not going to happen. It's just not going to occur because you can't have one without the other. And then all the other precedented decisions through the last 50 plus years of Roe versus Wade being a part of this particular American landscape. Something our listeners may not know, George, is I actually had Norma McCorvey on this show some 20 years ago. Norma McCorvey is the real life name of Jane Roe. Okay. She is the Roe of the Roe versus Wade. Now, she had come to a faith faith in Jesus, and she regretted being used by the pro-choice lobby in order to get her name on the manuscripts in order to pass that law into motion. But interestingly, she regretted it, and she wished that had never happened. She came from a very pro-choice perspective to a pro-life perspective, and I really enjoyed interviewing her on this show. So we've had a pro-life kind of attitude over the years, largely because that's where I stand, and it's a biblical stand. It's a faith and values stand. It's where I come from as I look at life through a biblical worldview. And I know people out there don't necessarily agree with me, but I hope that today we can give some reasoning behind why those of us who have a deep, profound faith, Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, Islamic, interestingly as well, holding tenaciously to this idea that life begins at conception. I mean, when else can it begin? Because life is a process that happens from one starting moment to an ending moment at death. So what I want to do today is look at why this happened. Then I want to look at why we hold a biblical worldview regarding this issue, and then offer some prayers for all the people out there who are struggling with problem pregnancies, but also who have different kinds of views on this, and praying that our nation will be one. I'm David Chadwick, and we will be right back. Well, if there's any time in our life and history as a nation, we need to get on our knees and cry out to God and say, I need you. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. I'm going to try to deal with the shocking, unprecedented leak of the SCOTUS document regarding the Dobbs versus Mississippi decision, supposedly to come down in June, but now leaked to the entire American public, indeed the world. And now we see what it appears Judge Samuel Alito, chosen by the majority to write the decision, believes, and why the reasoning he has is what should be the law of the land. Now, the debate has been furious, the response incredible, and how should we as people of faith look at this issue as it has become a very volatile issue once again in our culture? So what I'd like to do first of all today, as I look at this SCOTUS leak, why was it leaked? And who did leak it? I can't help but wonder if it wasn't someone on the left who is a clerk for a generally liberal justice and who may or may not have been a part of a larger conspiracy to leak it, and did so for what reasons? I mean, that is the motivation. George Hazlett joins me. He is substituting for Ed Billick because Ed's on vacation. George, what do you think?
Well, you know, I agree with you. I think that it probably was someone on the left, and I'm wondering if they did it to distract from inflation, gas prices. You know, we got a midterm election coming up this year, and the speculation is that there is going to be a big change in Congress, both the Senate and in the House. So did as motivation, is that why they did this, to deflect back to something that they can use argue?
You just nailed my number one. I think that's pretty much it. The midterms are coming up. There is a predicted red tsunami that many are saying is going to occur in the House of Representatives and also even the Senate. It could be that the Republicans take over Congress, and that's generally a midterm issue for the president, no matter if the president's Republican or Democratic. That happened with Bill Clinton. It happened with Obama. I think it's going to happen now. And I think, though, the problem is this time around, everything is so negative toward the Democrats. You mentioned some of the issues, George, and I think they're out there in spades. First of all, inflation. Mm-hmm. It's huge, the worst in 40 years. You have prices that are just skyrocketing beyond the ability for people to even pay their bills. You have the Afghanistan fiasco that happened way back when. You have the Ukraine war that many people don't think we should have gotten even close to because, hey, they go, Biden got us out of Afghanistan with this whole we don't want to be in war, and then he puts us right back into a war. And so everything seems to be trending against the Democrats' ideas and the way the world is operating right now. So I wonder, if on the left this was a conspiracy to leak the document to change the narrative about the midterm elections and to try to make abortion the issue, which would energize the left's base. Many people today who feel very strongly that pro-choice should be the law of the land, that Roe versus Wade has been around since 1973, reinstituted by Casey in 1992. It is what exists. It therefore needs to stay the law of the land. And therefore, you've energized your base. You've tried to change the narrative away from the reality of what's going on into the world to this issue being the issue of the midterms. And I can't help but wonder if you're right on spot, that that's exactly the major reason that people have allowed this to get public.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely makes sense. Now, hopefully that was the case. The other thing I guess it could be is that it's some sort of Republican strategy to make the Democrats look bad. In a reverse sort of way, I suppose that could happen.
Yeah.
But what it has done is it has definitely re-energized the liberal base.
There's no question about that. And I think it has, in a way, the response of the Democrats energized the Republican base as well. Those who feel strongly about pro-life are going, we're so close to overturning something that we have fought for almost 60 years, and they are now adding even more energy, stoking their fire to fight for this. A couple other thoughts that come to my mind why this happened. I think it could be to put pressure on those five conservative judges as they see, the judges, the response of the nation and people who are angry about this. And I know that this week there are actually fences that are being put up around the SCOTUS building, high fences like when January the 6th occurred, in order to prevent anyone from getting near the Supreme Court justices' offices, a fear that the same kind of response on the left might occur from those who are angry about this decision. And interestingly, it could be that those on the left thought, hey, when those five justices see that there are going to be riots and anger and destruction throughout our land because the law of the land could be changed, they're not going to then want that, and they'll change their vote over the next month or so and not do what is supposedly going to be done. I wonder, too, about those on the left who cry out stare decisis, which means precedent, precedent. You know that through the last 60 years, there has been precedent after precedent about keeping Roe versus Wade. But, you know, those on the right are saying, wait a minute, you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth. One of the real evils of our nation, for example, has been racism and the putting down of blacks by law, Jim Crow laws, and the Dred Scott decision, for example, stayed around for far longer than 50 years as the law of our land until finally some justices with a backbone and secondly with wisdom turned all of those laws around and said they are evil and wrong. And we have now laws that protect all people of all colors, all backgrounds, because all are created equally in the sight of God. So the whole stare decisis idea that you keep something just because it is the law of the land, and that means no law can ever be changed, well, that's ridiculous. And many people on the right, and I'm one of them, thinks that abortion and Roe versus Wade can't be found in the Constitution. It is not constitutional that the 14th Amendment and the whole due process idea for individuals and making abortion situated there is a wrong interpretation of the Constitution. And obviously five justices agree with that perspective now. And the idea of that 14th Amendment protecting women with a constitutional right to abortion begs the question that we're going to look at in just a little bit. Well, what's that in the womb? Is that just a clump of cells? If it's a clump of cells, I guess she can do with whatever she wants to. It's my body is the claim. But if that's not just a clump of cells, if that's a human life, then that person carrying another person has to consider another person. And then that person under the 14th Amendment, that child in the womb, must be protected by due process. If you're going to take that argument to the full. And interestingly, when the 14th Amendment was made back in the 1860s, it was done for slavery to protect black people, but also the vast majority of the people during that day were pro-life. They were anti-abortion. Believe it or not, abortion existed in the 1860s, and the 14th Amendment was passed during that time period with an understanding of ideology that would protect the life of all people, including the life of the unborn. I also wonder if this is a pressure to get Congress now to try to codify into law abortion, if there's not a pressure that will be put upon what is obviously right now a liberal House of Representatives, a liberal Senate. Will there not be pressure for at least the House, the Senate's 50-50, to pass a law that would codify abortion as the law of the land, make it federal and not let it ever get to the states? Of course, the issue there is going to be if it gets to the Senate, it's a 50-50 Senate right now, and you'd have to pass the filibuster problem, and that demands a 60 vote to overcome the filibuster, which will most certainly happen from the Republicans in the Senate.
Yeah, now there's a push again to overtake the to get rid of the filibuster rule.
Right, right.
Which has been around forever and is part of the beauty of the Senate. It would be a shame to see that go away.
Well, it really would, George, and I think at that point any law of the land is 51-49. And when you have the United States of America, you surely will not have the United States of America if that filibuster is ever taken away. You will have laws passed by the slightest of margins, which will basically marginalize people who feel differently on whatever side that law may arrive.
Well, don't you think that that's going to be the natural inclination anyway, if it's not federally codified in the law? Because you know, there's individual states now. I mean, I was reading yesterday about North Carolina, how people are already coming from various states to have abortions here in North Carolina. And I'm sure they're, you know, I'm sure California and New York are the same way. So you know, it's going to divide us whatever way it plays out.
It's already divided us, and you're making a great point. This is just going to go back to the states. This is going to allow the states to make that decision. But there are those like myself who feel like, well, I want to have input into moral decisions like this. And I can't affect a lifetime appointment to a Supreme Court justice. That is done. However long that justice lives, that justice makes decisions. But if I have the chance to vote for my elected officials who make the laws of my state, I feel like then I can influence somehow, some way, whatever the outcome may be. So as it is right now, the only thing I can do is vote for a president who may or may not be able to appoint a justice and who may or not interpret the Constitution as I understand it should be. But right now, at least if it goes to the states, I can vote for a city official, a county official, a state official, and my vote can mean something about affecting the laws of the land, where right now it is a very hands-off approach, only motivated by the particular worldview, and I'm sad to say this, a political worldview, yes, even of our Supreme Court justices, somehow, some way, going back to the states, to me, seems like the right thing to do, and the only way that we can begin to debate this issue at the local level, allowing the most amount of input from both different sides in order to arrive at the right conclusion. For me, that is the right statement, and we'll have states that allow abortion, states that don't, and that's going to be a part of the problem of our land in the years to come. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. There's something powerful when you start singing praises to God, when you lift up hallelujahs. And that word means praise God. When you sing in your difficulties, those difficulties start to fade. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. If you'd like to hear this program from beginning to end, please scroll down to the weekend shows once you go to WBT.com, and you can listen to the podcast from beginning to end commercial-free. But also, again, let me thank Perry's Fine Jewelry and Henderson Properties for your sponsorship of the show. It sure means a lot. George Hazlett is subbing for Ed Billick today. George, it's great to have you on the show with me. Thank you for joining me.
It's great to be with you. Thank you, David.
We're talking about a tough subject, the whole SCOTUS leak this week. And I spent the last segment going through why I think it was leaked. And I think it was leaked from the left for various different reasons. And you nailed the first one, I think, was to change the narrative away from the midterm elections and all the problems of the land. But during this segment, I want to do something different. This is a faith and values program, dear friends, and I am called to be a minister of the gospel. I have training in the original languages of Greek and Hebrew in which the Bible was written, and try to bring you a faith and values worldview, a biblical worldview, upon this and all situations. Now, every one of us looks at life through a worldview. Every single one of us looks at life through something that is informing us to reach a conclusion about what we believe. It could be a variety of different things. It could be your upbringing. It could be your college education, a liberal professor, or a conservative professor who particularly informed you on an issue. My deal is to look at the Bible and say, this is how I understand what the Bible says about particular issues. Now, abortion has, I think, a biblical worldview. I understand the pro-choice idea, and I am empathetic toward women who have a child in their womb in a difficult problem pregnancy. I just don't believe abortion's the best answer. I believe that's a child in the womb. And so when you have that child in your womb, it's not just your body to be able to make a decision regarding what you want. You have another human body inside of you that you must take into consideration with whatever decision that you make. And it's not just a blob of tissue that when women learn of a conception in their womb, they don't go around saying, let's have a blob of tissue party. They just don't do that. They throw a baby shower because they know intrinsically that something incredible has happened inside of their bodies. A new life, a new living creature has been planted within, and it's a creature who is a gift from God. So let me give you just a few of my understandings of what the Bible teaches about life and about children. First of all, the Bible really does emphasize a culture of life. You know, Jesus, whom I believe is God in human flesh, came to tell us who the Father is and to give us the Father's teachings in language and style forms that we can understand. He's the one who said, it is the thief, the enemy, the evil one, the devil, whatever you want to call him, who came to kill, steal, and destroy. He creates one culture of death on this earth. But Jesus then said, but I came to give you life and to give it to you in abundance. Now, you see this from the very first parts of the Bible. You see, for example, in Genesis 9, after the flood, that God gives a command that all the meat that is allowed to be eaten by God, by the human race, must first be drained of all blood. It must be kosher. Now, those of us who don't always obey kosher laws ask, what's that all about? Well, God was trying to say to Noah, his family, and all the generations thereafter, I want to create a culture of life in your midst. Leviticus 17 says, life is in the blood. So every time you eat meat, God was trying to tell the Jews, I want to remind you that there should be no blood in the presence of the eating of that meat. Why? Because I want there to be an emphasis in your life on life. You must always think about the importance of life. It is in essence who I am. I am a God who gives life. And you have some other interesting verses. For example, in the book of Leviticus, I had people ask me, why in the world would God command that the Israelites not allow them to eat a kid from a mom and boil that kid to death in her mom's milk and then eat it? I mean, that seems like a strange law when you look at it at first, but I think what God was trying to do was create a natural attitude toward life, that it's unnatural to boil a newborn kid in her mama's milk. That's unnatural. No one would do that. That kid is a gift of life. And so therefore, God's instructing the Jews from the very first moment to emphasize life in their very presence, even in their eating styles and form. You also have in Genesis 9:6, right after the flood, God commanded that if anyone takes the life of someone created in the image of God, that that person's life is then forfeited themselves. Now, this is the whole capital punishment idea, and I don't want to get into that today. In fact, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago with the South Carolina decision of the person who was given the idea of you can be killed by gunfire or lethal injection or whatever, and that caused the capital punishment debate to come forward. That's not where I'm going with this idea. What God was trying to do, though, was to say from the very beginning of the importance of human life, and anyone who has the image of God stamped on their lives, that person should be allowed to live. And if someone who has the image of God stamped on their lives takes the life of someone who has the image of God stamped on their lives, that person forfeits their life as well. What's God doing? Right after the flood, from the very beginning, he's trying to create a culture of life, the importance of life, the hideousness of murder. It should not be a part of any of our perspectives. So God is a God of life. And this whole idea of creation of life within the womb is just an amazing miracle. And folks, you know that within weeks, there is a heartbeat. Within weeks, there is the genetic code that makes up that child for the rest of his or her life. In fact, that happens at the moment of conception. All of the genetic ideas and possibilities of that child are completed at the moment of conception. Within weeks, there are fingernails. Within weeks, there's hair. The color of the hair is defined. Every part of that person's life is made into reality at the moment of conception. And again, within weeks, you have the heartbeat, which is why the Mississippi versus Dobbs whole idea of the heartbeat law, also emphasized in Texas, now in Florida, and which will be the law of states once this Roe versus Wade decision is reversed, you're going to see people emphasizing the whole idea of a heartbeat existing in the earliest weeks of the child's life. And if there's a heartbeat, there must be life. It's a miracle that God has given because God is a God of life. And the whole idea of God's word speaking to this is clear as well. We see, for example, in Psalm 139, verse 16, that God created us in the womb, that he knit us together in the womb of our mothers and fathers. In Jeremiah 1:5, God says about the prophet, I called you to be my prophet before the world was ever created. In Galatians 1:10, God says the same thing about the Apostle Paul, the one who took the gospel to the entire Western world, who preached Jesus to the Western world that we know today. And God said to him, I called you to be an apostle before the world was ever created. Indeed, that's something that just absolutely startles me when I think about the reality that God not only called Jeremiah, but called Paul, but also called David Chadwick to be a minister of the gospel, not just in our mother's womb, but before the world was ever created. There are two places in the book of Revelation where John, the Revelator, says that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Interestingly, it says our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world was ever created. So think about that. Dear friends, that God knew your name, not just in your mother's womb. God knew your name before the world was ever created. Life is so precious to the God of this universe that when he created us in our mother's womb, he already knew us by name. He knew the calling he has for our lives. Now, when you think about Roe versus Wade, since 1973, 60 plus million, I believe, children have forfeited their lives. I ask the question, could there have been one of those who would have been the founder of the cure to cancer?
Wow, that's a great question.
It's one that all of us have to ponder. Would there have been one who could have founded the cure to COVID? And we would not have lost what we learned this week, over a million Americans in the last couple of years. I mean, George, I guess here it is for me. Who are we to take the place of God? Who are we to make this decision? Can we not, I know in the problem pregnancy, have the child, but then believe the child can become something God created and use that child for good, even when it's very problematic for us in our lives?
Yeah, that's That's true. And real quick, I could just tell you from my own personal experience that I had a stepchild that got pregnant, and we struggled with what we were going to do. We personally, my wife and I, believed that we should not terminate it, but should we give it up for adoption? Another tough question.
Yeah, and that is an option out there, because adoption is a huge issue in today's culture. Well, George, let's talk about this on the other side in a little greater detail, because I know some of your history you've told me, and I know what I deal with other people. And let's talk about that when we come back. I'm David Chadwick, and we'll be right back.
Earth to God, come in, God. I know you're there. Hearing our prayers wherever you are.
And if there's a time in our nation we need to pray, it's now. As so many issues divide us, especially this last week as we have heard about the release of the SCOTUS document in our nation. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the program. Subbing for Ed Billick is George Hazlett. George, thank you for joining me with an open mic. I appreciate your thoughts and insights. And what we've tried to do during this program is to talk about some of the motivations behind the one who released this. And honestly, I hope that that person is caught. I hope that person may even be prosecuted. And, you know, there's some question, could it be then related to an actual Supreme Court justice who was a part of the release? And honestly, if that's the case, that justice needs to be impeached.
Absolutely.
Needs
Absolutely.
To be impeached.
This is very dangerous.
Left or right, that person needs to be impeached, because this was an egregious overreach on the part of someone in somebody's justice area. And it just is, to me, undeniably stupid, but also threatening to our nation. I think, again, if it was from a leftist judge, that is the Democratic Party's January the 6th.
Absolutely.
Again, a breach of the trust of the American people. But we looked at some of the reasons for that, and then I began in the last segment looking at some biblical justifications for believing that life happens at the moment of conception, the most powerful of which, in my opinion, are the Bible verses that talk about God knew our names before the world was ever created. Before the world was ever created, he knew our names. So people ask me all the time, George, as well, well, what happens to aborted babies? I believe they go immediately into the presence of Jesus. Now, that's not a reason to have an abortion by any means, but I believe Jesus loves the little children. And another biblical justification for believing that abortion is wrong is when Mary walked into the presence of Elizabeth, her cousin, and Mary had Jesus in her womb, and Elizabeth had John the Baptist in her womb. John the Baptist, 6 months older in conception than Jesus. The Bible tells us that the baby, John the Baptist, leapt in the womb of Elizabeth. Now, that word in the Greek is blepos, for child or baby. Interestingly, later on, when Jesus is in his adulthood and teaching, he says, "Let the little children come to me." What's the word he uses for children? Blepos. The same word that's used for John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth. So I think the Bible pretty clearly says that that child in the womb is a real child created by God, whom he knew not just at the moment of conception, but knew by name before the world was ever created. So what God has created, we don't have the right to terminate, in my opinion, because God is the one who can work the worst possible evils for good. Here's an illustration. Ethel Waters was the great gospel singer and thrilled millions of people worldwide. She was the product of a rape. That vicious, violent rape that just takes people's dignity away. Yet her mother said, "You know, I believe that the father is an evil man, but my heavenly father is good." So she carried Ethel Waters and gave her birth and loved her, and Ethel Waters becomes a person who blesses the world. Again, we go back to how many of these aborted children could have been blessings to the world, and Ethel Waters is one of those examples. Even in the worst and most hideous situation, God worked it for good. That's the God I serve, that the one who allows evil to happen still works it for good. Genesis 50:20, when Joseph, who'd been abused by his brothers, looked at them after 22 years of separation, said to them, "You meant what you did to me for evil, but God meant it for good." Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. I just believe that life belongs to God and God alone.
Well, look at Jacob.
Another
great example. Jacob was a liar,
deceiver,
and God came down and physically wrestled with him and turned him into the nation of Israel.
It changed his name from Jacob to Israel, which means Prince of God. Isn't that a great story? That God's always in the idea. He might have known our name before the world was ever created. Sometimes he even changes our name to give us hope. And you know, George, there's one other insight I would be remiss if I didn't bring up, and that's the ultrasound. You know, over the last 20 years, we've had technological advances medically that are extraordinary. One of those is ultrasound. And you can now look inside the womb, and you can actually see what was happening. From 1973 with Roe versus Wade up until around 2000, you had the best guesses of medical science. Now we can actually look inside the womb. We can see at the earliest moments of conception what's going on. And so for me, you have the evidence not only of what the Bible teaches, you not only have the idea of what life can give to people, but also you have the ultrasound as a witness you can call to the stand as we debate this and say, okay, let's look at what's happening inside the womb. Can that baby feel pain? Absolutely. Is there pain inflicted upon that child? Absolutely. And the United States right now has the most liberal abortion laws except for Canada. And we are alongside China, North Korea, and Vietnam with the most liberal abortion laws in the world. Most of the other nations, even though they allow abortion, at least stop it at 14 weeks. Because they know the heartbeat's going on then. I think the whole trimester issue, by the way, is a made-up, man-made medical issue that we can talk about another time. We aren't divided up into trimesters in the womb. We are creatures that have a beginning and have a process toward the end point being death. And then, of course, I believe eternal life. I believe through Jesus we have the gift of eternal life. And because God's about life. He's about life. He's not about death. So could we possibly be a culture of life and to believe what Jesus said, that he came to give us life and to give it to us abundantly and to live in such a way where we love one another and love those little children, but also love life. And when we bless people with life, I think our culture is stronger and better.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I have a prime example that I started to tell a story earlier.
Yeah, please complete that.
About my stepdaughter. And she got pregnant. She was in college. Abortion was not an option for us, but we really thought hard about giving her up for adoption, the baby. And at the last minute, after we had talked to parents and everybody, my stepdaughter decided she wanted to keep her. And I must say that was the best choice that could ever be made. Now I have a granddaughter that is 19, just a beautiful young lady. I'm so glad that she kept her. And it's
what
so back story. To back to your point before, you just don't know what people could do if they were given the chance.
Yeah, and if you do the right thing, then you trust God that he'll be the one who decides it all. The one final thought I would give today that, you know, Judge Ketanji Brown was just elected to the Supreme Court, was asked the question, what is a woman? Her answer was, I'm not a biologist. And, you know, now everybody's saying, but this is a woman's right. Well, if the debate is we don't even know what a woman is, how can you now say that it's a woman's right to have abortion? It just shows the craziness of our culture that we have definitive insights from God regarding what life is, what gender is, what beauty is, and what faith is. And I would encourage all of our listeners to follow the Lord's leading here and always choose life. That's a verse from the Bible, Deuteronomy 30:19, choose life. George, thank you for being with me today. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. All of you listeners out there, thank you for joining me. And the simple prayer as we end the show is, Lord, be with everyone. Help them to choose life, to live in life in abundance. In your name, we pray this. Amen and amen. Thank you all for listening. I look forward to talking with you all next week.